This morning, we're about to go into the holidays, and I'm going to be honest with you. We're in the middle of a series, and I'm going to take a break from that series this morning. I just feel like God's got something a little different for us this morning, and then we'll pick up and finish our series next Sunday. Leading into the holidays, it can be stressful and cause anxiety issues. Maybe your family is perfect and you can show us all how to do that. But most families are not perfect. There's some issues, and maybe there's loss in the past, and so we're dealing with that, and we have an idea of what we want the holidays to look like, and we expect it to be, and we watch too much Hallmark, and we think that this is the way the world is going to operate, and it's not. The world is very imperfect, and there's a lot of issues, and I don't want to bring the holidays down, but depression goes up during the holidays. Crazy, isn't it? That it seems like the most festive time of the year, the time that we eat the most and we go out the most, can be the most difficult time for a lot of people. And so I really want us to, I just believe the Lord wants to speak to us this morning about this little topic of understanding that God is involved in every area and every facet of our life, whether we see Him there and we recognize it or not. And you hear me say this all the time, but God is always working. He's always working in your situation, in my situation. He's always involved. And sometimes, again, the circumstances are not what I want them to be, but God is always working. So I want to start out with this simple statement. When you can't see the answer, look to Jesus. When you can't see the answer. Now, we're all taught, go out there, make it happen. Get it done. Pull yourself up. Go out there, get that education. Build that career. Figure it out on your own. Never let them see you sweat. These are all American ideas, and I'm American through and through. But there's a problem with this, because the answer doesn't always lie within me. It's not always within my ability to figure out every problem. It's not always up to me to control all the circumstances. As a matter of fact, when we try to do that, it's when we get the most stressed out. We start trying to control things that we were never meant to control. So when you can't see the answer, let's look to Jesus. So I want to start with this passage this morning, Mark chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. It says, a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors. And over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. Now, when this passage of Scripture, where it fits in the chronology of the book of Mark, is right after Jesus has delivered the demon-possessed man in Gadara. He has just healed Jairus' daughter. And there's these miracles happening. And Jesus is on the road. Crowd around Him. And there's this one woman in the crowd that Mark picks out to focus in on. We know her as the woman with the issue of blood. Now Mark doesn't go into it. Mark's not a doctor. He's not going to give us a specific diagnosis. But we know that she's got female issues, and she has for a long time. This illness that she has, this issue, has created all kinds of other life issues for her. Now, it generated all kinds of pain and pressure in her life that had nothing to do with her physical body. The accepted practice, the religious practice of the day, said that if other people touched her or touched anything that she touched, they would be considered ceremonially unclean. So not only did this lady have this ailment that she could not fix, that she could not find healing for, this woman was very alone. No one could really be around her. She couldn't go out in public with any freedom. She couldn't even be hugged by her family. 12 years this goes on. She's been basically quarantined from people. Remember what quarantine was like? And you had television. And we had the internet. And we hated quarantine. This lady has had to stay away from people for 12 years. Not only was she considered unclean, but she probably felt like that as well. Everybody around her said, "Oh, let me walk around. I don't want to touch her." You couldn't see her ailment, but people knew it because she had to work her life so that she did not infringe on someone else's ability to go about life. Now, for 12 years, she had the logistics of trying to work out every social circumstance so that no one would be considered unclean except her, and yet she was the one that every day felt it. She was not allowed by the law to enter the temple to worship. She couldn't go to church. Everything she touched was unclean. Everyone she touched was unclean, even her husband. She had tried to get well. She had gone to a bunch of doctors. She spent everything she had, but nothing worked, and she continued to get worse. She was tired. She was worn out. She was lonely. All of that going on at one time. She was also desperate. She was at a point where this issue had carried on for so long that she was just very simply desperate. Now listen, desperation can be a good thing. Desperation keeps us away from complacency if we lean into it. She had health issues, she had social issues, she had marriage issues and spiritual issues and emotional issues. She was seeking a cure. She had spent all of her money and all of her hope trying to get well, except for this last bit of mustard seed-like faith she had left. She had heard people talking about this power that Jesus possessed. Remember, he's on the road. He is coming back from delivering a demon-possessed man and healing Jairus' daughter, raising her up, and word has spread. And this little lady, no doubt, was in her desperation looking for an answer, and she believed that she could be better. 12 years now. If she could just get to Jesus. She had been hiding for so long that she felt she couldn't just go up to Jesus and talk to him. She knew the people around Jesus wouldn't allow her to get to Jesus. She was embarrassed about her circumstances. And she was really in need of a private cure. She needed it to be private so that no one would push her away because of her circumstances. And so she devised a plan. Desperation. Her plan was, I'm desperate. Something's got to give. Something's got to change. I can't keep going on like this. So she plans it out. She knows where Jesus is going to be coming by. And the Bible says this in verse 27, she had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him. She's sneaking up on Jesus. You think he might have known she was back there? I feel like he's like, slow down, let's let her catch up. Without, you know. She's sneaking up on Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. Just reaching through the crowd. Remember, everybody she touches is considered unclean. She's banking on a healing right here. She has poured her whole life into, I hope this works. I'm going to trust what God said. I'm going to trust Jesus. So she reaches through and she touches his robe. Listen to verse 28. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I'll be healed. She's like, I don't need his attention. I don't need his focus. I don't even need him to know I'm here. Nobody knows I'm here anyway. Nobody cares. She's like, I don't even need Jesus to focus on me. If I can just sneak up behind him and touch his robe, I think I can be healed. Verse 29, immediately, she did it. She reaches through there. And immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Now there she is in this crowd, following her plan to a T. It's like, I'm just going to sneak up here. I don't want anybody to see me. I'm going to get up here and I'm going to touch his robe. She came up behind him, and maybe she could only reach him from the back, or maybe she's just too shy to face him. Maybe she's just afraid of punishment, which is very likely that this unclean woman was touching someone. And as an unclean woman, if she touched Jesus, then now all of a sudden he is going to be ceremonially unclean. But she touched his robe. Now here's what you need to get out of this whole passage right here. It says when she touched his robe, you and I have this idea that she went, just reached through and touched it and just backed away. That is not what the Greek word means here. This Greek word, when Mark wrote this, he was very descriptive when he used this word. It means to reach out and grab. She didn't reach out with one finger and just touch it. She reached out and grabbed hold of Jesus. She grabbed hold of his. She was so desperate that she was willing to give up everything just to grab hold of him. Now listen, I think a lot of us in our lives today are doing a lot of touching, but not a lot of grabbing. And God wants us to grab hold of him so that our lives are dependent on him and him alone. You see, she had no backup plan. What if I'm not healed? Are they going to get rid of me? Are they going to cast me out of the city? Are they going to never let me socialize again? What's going to happen? She went all in. There was no backup plan. She grabbed hold of the hem of his robe as if it was her last hope, the last shot she had at a life on this earth. She did not care what anybody said or anybody thought. She knew she had to get to Jesus. How many of us are living like that? Just let me get to Jesus. Because we work so hard. Let me fix it. Let me change this circumstance. Let me do this. Let me maneuver. Let me work this out. I'll talk to them. That'll change this. Talk to them. It'll change that. And we live our lives stressed out and worried. And the whole time we're praying little prayers like, Lord, help me. Just help bless these circumstances. Bless what I'm doing, Lord. Jesus was walking. She had to catch up with him. He had a plan. I fully believe Jesus knew where, the exact spot where he was going to feel somebody go, wait a minute. I think he slowed down so slow so this little lady who was sick and worn out and tired and depressed and anxious could grab hold of him. How many of us have needed along the way for him to just slow down? He's almost dragging his robe like, oh, come on. I know what you need. I know what you need. She grabbed hold of him. Like in the Old Testament, Adonijah had tried to steal the throne from David as he is dying. And then David changes the whole narrative and he makes his other son, Solomon, the king. And now Adonijah is scared to death that he's going to be executed for trying to usurp authority over the kingdom. And the Bible says that Adonijah ran into the temple or the tabernacle and grabbed hold of the horns of the altar. He grabbed hold. He was like, you can't drag me out of here. I need to hang on to the mercy of God right here or I'm going to die. How many of us are living with that kind of desperation in our lives? When we come to God, are we desperate for what he's wanting to do in our lives? Because I can tell you this, he's desperate to work in our lives. He wants to change things in our life. He wants to help us. He wants this to be the best holiday season of them all. Not because the circumstances are all perfect, but because he's involved and he will help us through these things. He's going to be there. Amen. Now watch what happens in verse 30. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out of him. I don't know how that feels, but Jesus did. He recognized it. He realized it. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" It was a rhetorical statement. He knew exactly who touched his robe. Not pulling any wool over his eyes. "Who touched my robe?" You know what he was doing? He was making it public. This little lady who had had to live her life in the shadows all these years, he was bringing her out into the light. Ooh. There's so many of us that have lived our lives in the shadows, afraid of what other people are going to think or other people are going to say or do. We've been afraid and we've been anxious and we've been worried for so long, just hanging out in the shadows. Don't ever step out in the light. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" He was bringing her life out into, he was about to make a testimony of her life into his healing power. Look what verse 31 says. His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" You know, Jesus had to want to just say, "Shut up and just come on. You guys been following me around for months and you don't know what I'm doing here?" Verse 32, but he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Jesus did not heal all the people who touched him that day. This is important. He's walking along. He said he knew when healing virtue, when healing power flowed out of him, he knew. He knew it. There was a miracle taking place. He's walking down the road. Other people are bumping into him. You know how it is. We can't even walk down the hall without bumping into somebody. Didn't say healing virtue was sparking all over the place. Said Jesus knew. Jesus knew. Now this is important. Verse 33, then the frightened woman, this is the lady holding on to his garment, right? Grabbing on. The frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, she knew she was healed, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. It wasn't confession, "I messed up, I sinned." It was confession, "I was desperate and you were my last hope." Verse 34, and he said to her, "Daughter, daughter, not, hey, you, not, what's your name, not, do I know you, have we met, you look familiar, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Now watch this, "your suffering is over." You know why that healing virtue had not been flowing into every sick person's body all around Jesus that day? Two reasons. There was no desperation in their heart and there was no faith in their heart. Faith. 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 To trust him. What do you need to trust him in right now? Now here's what happens when you say, "I trust you, Lord." You're saying, "I trust that you know the best path for me." Because if I'm just ordering up miracles, I got a list of them I'm going to check off today, right? I mean, I believe in it. We've had miracles happen around here just recently. I mean, big time answers to prayer. But I don't get to control the flow of miracles from God to me. Here's what I do get to control. Am I going to trust him? Am I going to trust him when I'm feeling desperate? Jesus made a public declaration that power, the healing power had gone out of him. He made her healing public. And more than likely, this was just so everybody around them knew, this lady's clean now. I can just imagine, the Bible does not say it, Art. I'm adding to it here, okay? I can just imagine him saying, "Will somebody give that lady a hug? It's been a long time since she's had a hug." Jesus doesn't only address our spiritual needs, but he addresses all of our needs. She had health issues and social issues, marital issues and spiritual issues and emotional issues. And Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. Jesus is approachable in every circumstance. He's approachable this morning. Jesus sometimes, I believe, allows circumstances to enter our lives that reduce us to desperation so we will and we can reach out to him. Because we're arrogant before we have some hard circumstances. You remember before when life was perfect? You remember that? A long time ago, and you had all the answers. I remember when I had all the answers. I remember when I didn't understand why they don't just do the right stuff. I remember thinking that if they would just ask me, I know what to tell them. And the older I get and the more desperation level circumstances I face, the less I know and the more dependent I am on his grace and his power. This little lady was at the point of having nothing left. And she was not a lazy person. She wasn't saying, "I'm just going to wait on this till Jesus shows up at my house." No. She'd already seen many doctors. As a matter of fact, the religious practice of the day said there were 12 ways for a woman to get better or to be healed from this ailment that she had. No doubt she had tried all 12 of them. She'd seen every religious person, every doctor. She'd seen everybody. She had tried it all, and here she was, reaching through the crowd, just trying to grab hold of the hem of his robe. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this, "For we live by faith, not by sight." We live by faith. What is it today that you need to trust God in? What's going on in your life right now that you say, I need to put this in God's hands? I just need to trust him with this. Many years ago, I saw a picture of a guy trying to carry a refrigerator on his back. It's one of these strongman competitions, you know, where they pick up cars and demolish houses and whatever. I don't know what they do. Anyway, it's a tough guy competition. And he goes over and he grabs, now this is going to be painful, all right, so stick with me. He grabs a refrigerator, some straps on his back, and it's this giant refrigerator. And he's going to carry it. And he starts carrying it down the course. And I think he's racing somebody else. The problem was it was a little too much for him. And he took, his step was just a couple of inches too far. And his knee, I know you're going to have to love me after this. His knee bent in the opposite direction that it's supposed to be in. Just get a good visual. His knee broke backwards. And they snapped the picture perfect. This is before digital. Somebody did a great job of getting this picture. And he crumples to the ground, refrigerator strapped to his back, broke leg. And here's the problem. He was trying to do more than he was capable of doing. He was trying to carry something he was not created to carry. Some of us are trying to live our lives like tough guys, trying to carry more than we were designed to carry. And here's what the Bible tells us. Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Cast all your cares. The little ones and the refrigerator size cares. All of them. Cast all your cares on him and live by faith. Trust him. Trust him. It might be that during this holiday season, we have to reframe things a little bit. I wish my family looked like this. You know, the Instagram people who are perfect. and they all got beautiful smiles and big muscles, and they're all rich, and they all seem to love the same foods around this table together. They've never had a fight in their life, never had a dispute, never had a sickness, never been fired from their job. Life is just perfect. And we get in our head that this is what my family ought to look like. Can I let you in on a secret? That family in the picture is a lie. That family in that picture, they got problems they're not telling you about. They got issues they're hiding. Get the picture that comes 100 frames after that one. That's the one you want. No, there's no such thing as a perfect holiday. There's no such thing as a perfect life. It just does not exist. That's why we need Jesus. Amen. If it was perfect, we wouldn't even be thinking about Jesus this morning. If my life was all just perfect and I could handle everything on my own and my eternity was within my control, I wouldn't need Jesus. But the problem is none of that is in my control. I can't fix any of it, and I'm going to have to trust him. Who needs to push through the crowd this morning and grab hold of the robe? Maybe you're praying for somebody in your family. Maybe you're praying for your finances this holiday season. Maybe you're praying for your marriage. Maybe you got a bad doctor's report. We could go on down this list all day long. Everybody in the room and has something going on. Everybody. All those people were following Jesus. They wanted to hear what he had to say. They wanted to experience Jesus. But this lady was desperate for Jesus. There comes a moment in all of our lives when we realize we've just been walking the same road that Jesus has been walking. And then all of a sudden we realize I can't just walk with him. I got to grab hold of his robe. I can't just walk with all these other people. I got something going on that's so big I can't carry it. I just got to get on my knees and just get a hold of him. I got to grab hold of the horns of the altar because I'm imperfect and I need grace. I want to encourage you this holiday season. Don't get caught in what you don't have or what is not right. And I'm not talking about just positive thinking, all right? I'm all for positive thinking. We all need, sometimes you just got to slap yourself and go, okay, stop going down that road. Stop thinking all that negative. That's important, okay? So the Bible teaches us that. I'm talking about something even deeper. I'm talking about when those things are at desperation level and you go, God, I need a miracle. I need you to show up. I need you. I need you, Lord, to provide in a way that I can't do. God, I need you to absolutely answer in a miraculous way that not only I will know it, but that everybody around me will see the miraculous power of God. And I don't have to share the credit, God. When you do this thing, I want to give you the credit. I don't need any credit. I don't need anybody patting me on the back telling me how tough I was. I want to give you all the credit, Lord. I want to be the one kneeling at your feet, holding on to your garment when the light comes on. Just trusting you, leaning on you, relying on you. I call them ugly face prayers, the ones you don't like praying in front of everybody. You know, when you just need to close the door and it's just going to be ugly. And you're just going to have to say stuff to God and it's a desperation moment. It's important sometimes just to have those where you just get alone with God and you just unload it and you trust him for his power and his presence in your life. And when you get up, things are different. The circumstances may all look the same, but something has happened. The power of God has been engaged in a way that we didn't realize could happen, and we're just trusting Him every single moment. We are not people who are perfect. We are people who understand that we need God. That's it. We're not the people who never fall down. We're just the people who keep getting back up. That's what walking with Christ is all about. Fall down, get back up. Fall down, get back up. Desperation, trust Him. Desperation, trust Him. Walking in prayer, trust. I want you to stand with me if you would. When you can't see the answer, look to Jesus. When you can't see the answer, look to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What is the thing right now that you need to trust God with the most? What's the thing? We all know what it is. We don't need time to think about it. It's the stuff that you pray about under your breath, like, oh, God, you got to help us. It's the stuff that you've talked about enough that you're like, nobody wants to hear this anymore. He wants to hear about it. He wants to hear about it today. What do you got going on that is too big for you? What's the refrigerator that you're exhausted trying to carry? What is it this morning? I want you to pray with me. And we're gonna trust Him. This is going to be a moment. And listen, we're not going to pray right now and then walk out of here and go, okay, I'm done. No, no, we're going to walk out of here and then we're going to grab hold of the hymn tonight and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day, and we're going to trust Him along this journey that He is faithful to go with us on. Can we just lift up the stuff that we need to trust Him with and cast it on Him? Father, we thank You right now, God. Lord, You've been so good to us. You've walked with us, but Lord, there are things in our lives that are just too big for us to handle. Lord, we've been working at it, just like the little lady in the story. We've been seeing doctors, and we've been trying to fix the problem, and we've been going out of our way. But Lord, it's bigger than us. It's bigger than us, Lord, and we need You today to show up and to work. We need You, God. We know, Lord, You're taking the path so that we can catch up with You, so we can grab hold of that garment. And today, Lord, help us with just tenacity to grab hold of the hem of Your garment. Just grab it and never let go, Lord, and just hang on every single day, trusting that You're going to walk with us, trusting that You're going to work the miracle, trusting that You're going to help us with the next step, trusting that You're going to give us wisdom and what to do and how to do it tomorrow, God, so that we don't get caught up in fear and worry and anxiety today and get stuck here in this moment. God, we just lift all of this up. Lord, we just pray that as we go into the holidays, there will be a joy and a peace like never before. Lord, for every person right now that is afraid of the holidays, Lord, I just claim peace over their life, Lord. The peace of God that passes all understanding, let it guard hearts and minds right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we ask for that peace. Lord, that when others who are expecting us to be down or worried or afraid, when they see us, let them be surprised and let us just point to You and go, God is good in our lives and we're trusting Him, and just give You the credit and give You the glory. And Lord, we pray that You would be lifted up. You would be lifted up and the name of Jesus would be praised. And we thank You and we honor You right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Give Him some praise, everybody. Amen.